إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran encouraged us and reminded us to think and to reflect. In many places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this issue of reflecting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we give examples so that people will reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the people who reflect and who think, and He called them people of intelligence. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahari la ayatin li ulil albab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens and the earth, signs in the changing of the day and the night, are signs for people of understanding, people who reflect and think. تِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we give examples for people so that they may think and they may reflect. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two kinds of things. One is, He mentioned His own creation. He mentioned the glory and magnificence of what He created and so on. Like the ayat which we recited in Surah An-Naba, the beginning ayat, which talk about the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His creation. And in that creation also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned both kinds of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned things which are very big and massive and huge, the constellations, the sun and so on and so forth, moon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned things which are supposedly very insignificant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the fly, He mentioned the bee, He mentioned the mosquito and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned things which are of a very daily nature which we tend to ignore. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned our spouses. So similarly, many things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, all of which are His creation. Some are big, some are small, some are of a so-called, mundane nature, daily nature, which we tend to ignore. The other kind of thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran are stories about people, different kinds of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some cases specifically identified the people, so we know it was this civilization or that civilization, or the people of Sabah, or the people of the Qawm-i Aad and the Thamud and the Egyptians under Fir'aun and so on. In other cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, He didn't specify and identify and point out or name a particular community, but He said, for example, in Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we sent our Anbiya to a particular town or a particular village. Now the Mufassirin have said that was Antioch in what is currently Turkey and so on, but Allah did not mention Antioch or something. Similarly, in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the story of the two men, one of whom was given the gardens and the other one was a poor man, but he was a pious man and so on. So all of these stories also, our aqidah is that these are not some imaginary false stories, these are actual stories, these things actually happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom did not name the person or did not name the place, but that does not mean that it is something which is unreal. So two kinds of things, one is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the other thing is the stories of different kind of people. Allah said, Alam tara kaifa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil, have you not seen what your Rabb did with the people of the elephant? And similarly in many other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the different kinds of stories. Now, the purpose of both of these things is the same, which is that we should reflect on two things. Number one, that we should reflect on the glory and majesty and power and authority and the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember that one day we will meet Him. Every single person, if he or she was born, will die, and they will meet Allah whether they agree, whether they don't agree, whether they believe, whether they do not believe, whether they have faith, they do not have faith, they are Muslim, they are kafir, they are mushrik, whatever be the case, every single person, if you are born, then you will die, and if you die, you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no doubt about this fact. And this is something for us to think and remember. And meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just like, you know, some chance meeting or a meeting which has... The meeting means for accounting of our deeds. The meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meeting is a way of saying it. But the actual meeting is not purposeless. The meeting has a very specific purpose, and that purpose relates directly to us, and it relates to our everlasting happiness or the opposite. And that is our accounting, the hisab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. So this is one purpose of remembering the glory and majesty of Allah. And the second thing, the second reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these things, wallahu alam, is so that we measure ourselves according to the criteria that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us in His kitab when He mentioned different people. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka wa ashabil fil. Allah is not telling a story. Did you know what happened? Did you know what your Rabb did with the people of the elephant? Here is a nice story, entertainment. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, the purpose of the story is that we look at ourselves and say, how do I measure up against this criterion that has been shown? Now you might say, well, you know, I am not taking an elephant to destroy the Kaaba or something. So how does it apply to me? It is not the issue of the elephant. It is not the issue of destroying the Kaaba. It is the issue of what does that represent in our lives. You and I are not Abraha, alhamdulillah. But what is that? What is this man doing? Giving supremacy to your own self over the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. So we are not riding elephants to break the Kaaba, but we have to ask ourselves, do I give supremacy to my desires? Do I give supremacy to what I want over what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, over the ubudiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that is the lesson. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, did you see what happened to them? Did you see what we did with them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the cities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the people, they build these cities, huge buildings, tall buildings, whatnot. Did you see what happened to them? So the question to ask myself is, where is my focus? You might say, well, I'm not building any skyscrapers. It's not the direct, you know, exactly issue of skyscrapers. It's the issue of what is it that you are giving importance to in life. Are you giving importance to things of this dunya? The other day, one of our dear brothers, he asked me this question. He said, can you define Israf? What is Israf? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Israf, he called Israf not just haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, innal mubazirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. Allah said, the people who do Israf, verily they are the brothers of shaitan. Now what is more, you know, haram than that? Brother of shaitan is going to go where? Jannah? So obviously it is something which is hugely, very, very bad, and which we should not do. He said, can you define Israf? So I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not defined Israf specifically to say it is, you know, $100,000 or it is $500,000 or it is $1 billion. So Israf, my understanding of Israf is, Israf refers again to the niyat with which you do something, right? It's not in the amount of money it's the niyat with which you are doing something. Israf refers to doing something to show off, doing something to show people. A person may spend a lakh of rupees in feeding people, in building schools and colleges. He may spend millions doing that. On the other hand, a person may spend less than that, much less than that, in buying a watch which he wants to show off to people, in buying a car which he wants to show off to people, in holding a party or a marriage or whatever, in which, now you might say, well, you know, terms of money, so and so spent so much money. But that money he spent to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't spend that money to please people. This one is spending the money to please people. Right, so that, what makes it israf? Israf is the niyat behind this. You are doing it to show whom? Yeah, the reason why we quite rightfully, I think, criticize all our ostentatious weddings. What is the niyat behind this? And I'm not going into the heart of somebody, I've not seen that. But I'm just saying, from the actions, and I'm applying the principle of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to tell him what was in the hearts of people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell us, so and so, this is what. He said, we do not have the Nabi with us anymore. We do not know what's in the hearts of people. We will go with what the action shows us. So if you are doing one particular action, and then you say, no, but that was not my intention. We don't know, we don't care. We don't know what your intention is. Your intention is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as far as we are concerned, your action is right or your action is wrong. Khalas. We don't know the intention. So if you are telling me that I spent 5 crores on my wedding, but my intention was good, I don't know. All I know is you spent 5 crores on the wedding. Right? So the point is that what is israf therefore? I'm relating it to what the Quran is saying. So therefore it's the... So this friend of mine, this brother of mine, he said, what about... because you know, I always say, don't buy expensive cars because they are depreciating assets. What's the sense in putting $1 million behind a car? Because it will depreciate. He said, no, but there are cars where if you buy it, if you drive it off the parking lot of the dealer, it doubles in price. So I said, which car? He said, McLaren. Because it's a limited edition, so people book for it in advance. And if your number comes, you get the car, you drive it off, somebody will pay you double the amount to take the car. So is that israf? So I said, if you book the car to double your investment, as an investment, and as soon as you drive it off the lot, you sell it to somebody who gives you double the price and you hand over the keys to him, it's not israf. It's investment, right? So I just double my investment, alhamdulillah, no problem. So you decide which one it is. So then he said, no, if I buy it in order to experience the beauty of the engineering. So my answer to him was that all of this is fine. We can make all of this tabilat. I'm experiencing the engineering or whatever the devil. But think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you resources. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you resources. You have two choices. You buy a McLaren with this desire of experiencing the engineering, or you take the same money and spend it for relief to the Rohingyas. And believe me, there will always be some Rohingya in this world. May Allah protect us, but this ummah is not free from musibat. So if it is one group, tomorrow it will be some other group. May Allah protect us from this. Same money, right? If you take this same $1 million or whatever the hell it costs, I don't know, and give it to a cause which alleviates suffering, which removes poverty, which takes away people's pain. You don't have to go all the way to Burma to do this. Go here, go down the street here to the hospital here. Go to Usmani Hospital here. See the number of people who are not able to pay their hospital bills. Go down to Chanchalgoda jail. See how many people are sitting in prison because they don't have a miserable amount to pay their bill. If they pay that 5,000 rupees, they can get out. They don't have the money. So they are languishing in jail. I mean, this is a crazy government we have got where you simply fill people jails with people and you don't know what to do with them. That's a different issue. But I'm just saying that if you want to spend your money in a way which is guaranteed, insha'Allahul Musta'an, to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to book your place in Jannah, there is no shortage of ideas. There is no shortage of places. Instead of that, you want to take the same money and you want to put it, even if, let us say, I'm not saying if you buy a McLaren or if you buy whatever car or something with this intention of investment and whatnot, you know, I'm not saying that you will go to Jahannam. Jannah does not belong to me and Jahannam does not belong to me. I don't send anyone anywhere. But I'm saying, let us take the best interpretation that this thing is, inshallah, not a sin. But at the same time, it is not something which Allah will give you Jannah for, no? At the most, it is something which is neither good nor bad. It is in the middle, which means it's a waste of money. as far as I am concerned. If you put money behind something which you got no return for, then it's a waste of money anyway. So at best, it is a waste. At worst, you might put yourself in problems with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that kind of expenditure. Now, this is the way to reflect on the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about Qarun. Why? And he mentioned specifically, he was a man who had so much of treasure that to carry the keys of the treasure houses, I mean, this is before the plastic came into being. So, before the keys of the treasure houses, he had a whole troop of strong men to lift those keys. Why is Allah giving us all this detail? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what did this man do? Ostentation, sign of that. What did he do? He was not content with giving the treasure, okay, I have treasure. No. He must show it to the world. So he comes out in this great procession and pomp and splendor and whatnot. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned specifically what did the people who got dazzled by this, what did they say? They said, oh, we wish Allah had given us what He has given Qarun. And then when they saw the result of what happened to Qarun, then they said, oh, thank God Allah did not give this. So when they said, we wish that Allah had given us what He had given Qarun, what did the people of knowledge, what did they tell them? They said, no, don't say this. All of these things are meant for us to reflect on in our own lives and say, what is it that I am doing which refers to that? And as I told you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us small examples. Small examples, sleep and so on and so forth, and your spouses and the food you eat and so on, small things. Because everything relates. The idea is to live life thoughtfully, not to live life like a cow or a buffalo or something. You know, you wake up in the morning, you go eat grass, come back in the night and go to sleep. This is not life. We are supposed to think, we are supposed to reflect, we are supposed to take lessons, as a result of which we are supposed to change our lives and make them better and more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand His kalam in the way that He wants us to understand the kalam and to bring about changes in our lives before the time comes when we meet Him jalla jalaluhu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that time the best of our lives inshallah, and make that days the best of our days. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.